Hello and welcome to The Inner Gamer, episode 148. We're your weekly dose of video game news, reviews, opinions, and discussions made for and by our listeners. My name is Brett Yanofsky.
I'm Austin Morales.
And I'm Luis Gonzalez.
And this week we talk about South Park, Phone Destroyer!
Phone Destroyer!
A little bit of Cuphead and Civ 6. We're also in video game news. EA is acquiring a developer for $45 million.
$455 million.
Sorry. I don't know why I read that wrong.
That's a huge difference.
Big difference. And then Grand
Theft $45.
Auto 5 is the best-selling game of all time. What the fuck? And then discussion topic, successful video game sequels.
And also, last but not least, if you guys are in Dallas-Fort Worth, make sure you come out this Friday to Community Brewery. We are having a big, huge party, and it'll be awesome. Bring board games. We're going to have Switch games set up. It's going to be amazing.
BYOB?
No. Oh, yeah, technically. BYOB.
Bring your own
not
board
beer.
Game.
Board games.
Bring your own wallet.
Yeah.
To buy beers.
So, Brett, cue the music.
Hi, this is Charlotte Chung, the voice of D.Va. I play to win, and you're listening to the Inner Gamer Podcast. Winky face.
It is November 14th, 2017. Welcome to the Inner Gamer Podcast. If you like what you hear, please head on over to iTunes and leave us a review or tell a friend so we can keep bringing these awesome episodes to you each and every week. Now let's talk about some video games. First up, we have something very exciting that I have to share. I can't wait to tell you guys. It's so cool. South Park Phone Destroyer is out for iOS and Android.
I'm downloading it right now.
You should.
I don't know why I haven't yet.
So they have this thing in the beginning of it, a disclaimer that reads as such. This game contains both in-app purchases and the option to watch ads for rewards. To disable the ability to make in-app purchases, adjust your device settings. In-app purchases cost real money and are charged to your account. And for those reasons, this game should not be played by anyone. I thought that was pretty great.
Nice.
And you know, I never noticed that on the TV show. They also say that this contains like crude humor and blah 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 blah, and is not good for people to watch. So therefore, you should not watch a show. I've watched so many episodes, never noticed that. That's what that intro said.
Yeah, the very last part says that.
Yeah, it's hilarious. But South Park Phone Destroyer, man, this game has like totally taken me by surprise because I remember seeing it at E3. They were advertising it while I was standing in line for the Fractured Butthole. And it's not at all what I thought it was going to be. It's like a mix. It's like a Hearthstone game. It's like a card game.
Yeah.
And so you play, it's set up to where you are still the new kid and you have your phone and Cartman FaceTimes you. And he's like, hey, kid, we're about to play Cowboys versus Indians. So they're all fighting at the beginning. They're trying to figure out what they're going to play. And then they decide Cowboys versus Indians. So you're on the Cowboys side. Then the Indians is ran by Kyle. And you get your first hero character card, which is Cartman. And the way it works is that you have these cards in front of you. And you have a certain set of points that accumulate as time goes on. But whereas Hearthstone is a turn-based card game where the one person like makes their moves and stuff like that. This is live action. Like it's happening in real time. So both characters are like walking towards each other. The hero characters, like the players, they're walking towards each other. And then you just throw out your cards onto the playing field and it spawns in the character that you threw out there and they start instantly attacking.
Wow.
So they always like, you never know really what's going to come up, but there's like certain tiers of enemies that they'll play out on the playing field. And then you also just start throwing things out as you want to play. Actually, it's kind of like Clash Royale. In that sense,
that's what it sounds like.
Where you like drop stuff out. So actually, it's more Clash Royale than it is Hearthstone. But yeah,
so Clash Royale is Hearthstone. Yeah,
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, so I guess you could build your deck and stuff like that.
Yeah, you can build a deck, and they do have microtransactions in it. So like you get card packs, and you can you get free card packs every once in a while. But when you unlock those, they can either be a new hero, they can be like an ability that you like drop down a fireball, or you have a rat swarm that sends like rats to the enemies, a bunch of weird stuff like that. And you can also upgrade each of these cards. So the ones that you end up liking, you do upgrades on them to add health or add attack bonus powers or whatever. And they have a lot of different like they have a few types too. So they have like close range combat characters. They have archers or like long distance shooters. And then they have some that are like big, huge tanks. So that's the three like main card types. Cartman's a tank and he's hilarious. And they have one of the characters that flies in like floating or whatever. And just a lot of crazy stuff, but it's good. I mean, I really like it. I mean, it's free. I haven't spent any money on it yet. The microtransactions are there, but they're not beating me over the head, because at the end of each level, you have these lockers that pop up, and you click on a locker and you have a chance of getting like a special item from one of those, or from up to three lockers. So if you click on the right things, you could get the chance to get a special card or a special item from playing that mission. And then there's a single player component that you play through, and there's also PvP mode where you can then fight other players and battle it out with your card system. So yeah,
I'm watching gameplay. It looks freaking awesome.
It's so silly.
I feel like card games like that should be on the phone and existing very well on the phone already. Is Hearthstone on your phone? I'm pretty sure Hearthstone's on cell phones.
Yep.
Man, it's like the perfect time to be doing stuff like that. Card games are addicting as hell.
Oh, so much. Because like, and then they have it, you know, like the old days when you would go get like Pokemon cards or whatever, they had in that like cellophane wrapper that you'd pull off the top and open it up. That's
so
how
good.
You get the cards, and you actually have to do the swipe animation
good
to like
moments.
Tear it up,
yeah.
Tear it off the top.
That's really smart.
Random memory is sister. Me and my sister were playing Pokemon, and she got a Blastoise one time. I was so pissed off. Holographic Blastoise.
Yeah,
but yeah. Those moments.
Oh, it's great. And I mean, every once in a while, you still get a FaceTime call from Cartman, and he'll like, literally, you have to rotate your phone and click accept. And like, it's a video of him calling you. And then whenever you get a text, like after you play a battle, like you're in a group chat with everybody. So Kyle is like saying, damn it, that new kid, he just kicked my ass again. And like, haha, you suck, or some stupid comeback that I can't think of, but it's
some Cartman related.
Very good. You can tell that like the two guys, Matt Stone and Trey Parker, had a hand in this, because the humor is there and it's very good. So everybody,
is this a great
go
follow-up
download it.
To the Fractured But Whole?
Do what?
This is a great follow-up to the Fractured But Whole. I mean, it's not really a follow-up, but...
Yeah, it's not really a follow-up. It's in the same realm in that they're kids playing things, but I don't it doesn't really tie in to the story of South Park the Fractured Butthole, but it is just them playing make-believe kind of thing in the world. So they have all the stuff that you're used to seeing in the world of South Park, it's not like canon with the actual story of South Park the Fractured Butthole, but I really like it. It's fun. You guys should download it. It's free.
I'm definitely going to have to, man. It seems like, I mean, like I was saying, card games are the way that I think mobile games should go. I mean, I feel like those are the most, those have the ability to quickly get traction. Think about like how card games were in the past. Like you were saying, opening cards, buying cards, like it's a very expensive hobby to have.
Yeah.
And the microtransactions in the game make sense, because that's how you sell cards. Like that, it's just without the physical cards, you cut that out.
Right.
So I'm excited to just kind of jump in and see how it is. I don't know, like, I know the South Park universe well enough to know that it's possible that they may run out of steam in terms of like characters and stuff, because those universes aren't really all that built out, but the city of South Park doesn't really have a whole lot of stuff. So unless they start bringing in random obscure characters, I can see someone like the units or the cards getting stale, unless there's like rares and stuff. I'd have to kind of explore that, but.
Yeah, they do have some rares that pop in. Like Token is a shaman. He's a shaman token Indian. And that's pretty clever. So everybody's got like a unique little tie-in of what they're make-believe as. But I mean, they have things that like Mumsy, I think was his name. Do you remember that Mumsy character, I think it was?
Mimsy.
Mimsy. Yeah, so Mimsy. He's a character. So they have those obscure ones that are only in like a couple episodes or whatever that come into play. So they have a lot of
that's good.
A lot
then
of characters.
They could probably
to pull
use
in.
Like Clyde Frog and stuff as like items and stuff. That makes sense.
Yeah. So
I just wonder how deep it's going to get, because Hearthstone is huge.
Right. Right.
It'd be hilarious if this actually became a game that people like are putting money into, like esports.
I'm so glad they're finally doing a game on the Cowboys versus Indians because they always talk about it.
Yeah.
And they never actually got to like see it.
It's clever. I like it. So
this is cool.
Awesome. So it's a dig, by the way. So awesome. I just want to make sure that's clear. It's awesome. A dig. So, I mean, it's
and
free.
It is free to download, right?
Yeah, free to download.
Awesome.
Contains in-app purchases. In-app purchases are pretty standard, you know, $2.99 for a certain number of coins or cash, in-game cash. But you get that stuff as you progress as well. So you don't always have to buy it. So, so Louise, you've been playing a lot of games. We haven't had you on in a while. So give me an update.
It has been a while. Well, I've been kind of everywhere. Sick some days, out of town others. My brother last week was officially inducted into the Lawyers of America. I don't know. I'm just making shit up.
Yeah.
He's officially a lawyer of the state of Texas. So
nice.
That's where I was
congrats
last week.
To him.
And then, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. But while I was over there, I got to try out Super Mario Odyssey on the go. It was amazing. I'm going to have a bit on the cast, but I it's a 1A, 1B for me right now for Game of the Year. Super Mario Odyssey being 1B, 1A being Zelda. I've also been playing Wolfenstein. I think it's incredible. I've had some PC issues. Austin, I know you said you didn't and that you super dug Wolfenstein 2 to the point of Game of the Year contention, which is awesome. So I've been playing all those games. But the game I've been playing the most recently, also I beat Cuphead. Cuphead was great. I think it's overrated, but it was good.
Yeah.
And I know Charlie talked about it. He had some reservations about some of the boss battles. It is fair to an extent, except the last boss battle, I think, is complete bullshit.
That's what I've heard.
Basically, like, the last thing you have to do, particularly in that boss battle, that is just, it doesn't make any sense. But I've been playing a lot of Civilization VI. Oh, my God, guys. I haven't played Civ since Civ 3, probably. And I was never really that good. Oh, it's amazing. And I can go into sort of detail in terms of why it is. Not too much detail. I don't want to bore you all. But the gist of Civilization is exactly what it sounds like. You have to create a civilization and conquer the world. There's multiple ways that you can conquer the world. And I don't remember much from 3, but you can conquer other countries by like militarily going in and taking all their shit and burning all their villages and stuff like that. You can win by a science victory, by getting to space first. You can win by creating such culture within your borders that you attract more tourists to your country than any other country. And you can also win, I'm missing one, religion. So you can spread your own religion into other countries. And if your religion becomes the most predominant religion in every single country, well, then you win. So you basically, it's basically like a crusade. Which you can start, by the way. And what I love about Civ so much, and particularly this one, is how in-depth these things go. Like, it's not just surface level, like you need to create production units, you need to create food. Like, not only do you have to do that, but there's also historical relevance to everything. So, for example, like developing the cotton gin, like understanding how to create lumber, like knowing how to plant plants, like all that kind of stuff you learn periodically. And by periodically, I mean it's actually to the era, right? So in the medieval era, for example, you can build catapults once you research them. Once you get past the medieval era into, like, I don't know, the classical era or whatever, you can research like the wheel and random shit like that. So it's so detailed in that way, but it's also logical in the way that you kind of go about it. And all throughout, you're building new cities, you're kind of building settler units to go and like settle new countries and all this other stuff. All the while, there's like, I'd say 100 different world leaders and countries that you can be a part of. And every single country has their own particular thing that only they can do. So I'm Japan right now, and Japan is on the coast, and Japan is well known for being obviously samurai is their like unit, right? So you can like train samurai and run around and go slice people up. But they're also like, they're Marines. Like they're basically, they fish, they do all that kind of stuff. So you get bonuses for settling on the coast and utilizing those particular units. So there's advantages to being certain civilizations, but also not really disadvantages. It's more like you're probably better off going this route of winning if you're this civilization. And all of that comes into having to figure out, well, which direction do I want to go? Oh, someone's going to beat me in science before I beat them in religion. Like, maybe I should just go and conquer them so I can stop them. So there's just all these different levels to everything. And at this point, I'm overwhelmed, but also super excited to keep exploring all the different options that you have at your disposal. And it's all turn-based. It's just a big, it's a map. Like, it's basically just a map. And you're turn-based going through all these tiles, getting all this shit done, building a civilization. And there's just
hard work,
layers and layers and layers of detail that is just, it's tough to find that in any game. Like, they've really like hit every little thing that you could possibly hit.
So you could go through that thing and theoretically never engage in combat with anybody, right?
Yeah, you could exactly do that. And it really comes, I mean, to say you would never is tough because sometimes people declare war on you. Like I said, the detail goes a lot further than just make units and build your civilization. There's also, if you build your borders too close to another city, they're going to get mad at you and they're going to start to, your favor with them is going to decrease. And that means they're going to be willing to go to war with you or they're not going to want to trade with you and random stuff like that. But you never know. Sometimes people will ask you and you won't know because computers are unpredictable. Yeah. Some people will say, hey, diplomatically, I'm going to request open borders of you so I can go through your country to get to other countries to trade. And if you say no, well, then they can't go through. But if you say yes, they can just freely roam around your country. But if they're freely roaming around your country, they can attack you at any moment and they'll already be in your country. That happened to me last time. France attacked me. They attacked my capital and then I destroyed France. I conquered all of France. I'm like, I hate you. So now every time I play France, I have to conquer them.
Nice.
But so then there's also that other level. If you go the combat route and you start to take over other countries, you get this reputation as a warmonger. And so other countries denounce you and they won't trade with you, or they'll close their borders to you, or they won't trade with you, or they'll go to war with you collectively. There's just an astounding amount of levels, and it's fun to continue to explore it.
Wow.
Can you be North Korea?
Yeah, you can be Korea. You can be both Koreas. Literally anything you can think of. You could be like the Aztecs. You can be who was I? What's his name? Gilgamesh from I think the Sumerian Empire. Every empire you can be. You can be, well, you can't be Napoleon because France is someone else. You can be anything, dude. Like I was the Aztecs once, and your capital is like the actual capital. And then every time you settle a new city, it's a city within that empire. So for example, if you do America, your Washington is the capital. And then after that, it's like Boston or Los Angeles or Cincinnati, like all these big cities. And when I was the Aztecs, it was like, it was Tenochtitlan or whatever the hell, like the now Mexico City in Mexico. Like I said, it's just really culturally accurate, and the levels go even deeper than that, man. You can hire great minds. So, for example, if I'm in the modern era and I have enough going, like maybe I built a library or a great library or something that builds up my science, Albert Einstein will want to come to my country and he will want to help me. And I can use Albert Einstein to push my science agenda and get me closer and closer to getting either, I don't know, better units or better, I don't know, like buildings or getting me closer to getting to space, like all this different stuff. So again, it's a level on levels on levels game.
Wow.
And if you're not really into turn-based, because it's pretty slow paced unless you know exactly what you're doing and you're just click, 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 which I'm getting to. But once you start to get to those bigger cities, like your population starts to skyrocket. It's a lot to manage, but it's still extremely, extremely fun throughout. Trying to just kind of strategize. And there's also a multiplayer. So if everyone else got it, we can do a 1v1v1, four countries versus each other on a small map. And boom, let's go in.
Now we know not to play France because you're going to attack us first.
Yeah, I've like told myself, always France. I'll also probably always go to war with Greece because I don't like that lady. There's like an avatar for every single like world leader, and she's attacked me so many times. I'm over it, man.
Yeah,
the Greeks are
fuck you, Greece,
man.
Yeah,
who would have thought the Greeks?
I think you'd actually like, and you should. I'd say take a look if you can, but compare Civ 5 to Civ 6 stylistically, Brett. I think you'd like the new art style versus the old one quite a bit. Actually, yeah. It's very Breath of the Wild, like pastelish, kind of cartoony.
Yeah.
Just so many levels to this damn game, dude. And I started playing on like Tuesday and I already have 21 hours in it.
Jeez.
And that's impressive. Just in like a couple of games. I probably only actually completed one game too. I've been playing a bunch of different ones to try and strategize and figure shit out.
That's awesome.
And pretty soon I'll play online and beat people's asses, man.
There you go. Working it up.
But yeah, man, just lots of different games. Even jumped into some of those older games because I love that as a PC owner now, the PC kind of, it's like its own open source, right? You can download literally anything. So I played like Red Alert, like the old Command and Conquer games. Like Roller Coaster Tycoon some more. And then on Steam, it's actually on sale right now. So by the time this cast goes up, it should still be on sale. The old Turok games got ported over from N64 to PC, and they were meant to be played on PC. And I'm about to beat that again. Yeah, man, just playing lots of games. Pretty soon, play South Park Phone Destroyer.
Hell yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe one of these days we'll all get in Civilization 6 and I can beat all y'all's asses. Just no one pick France, please.
Oh, maybe France.
Or pick France.
France is going to kick your ass.
Ooh, StarCraft 2. That would be a good one, actually.
it's free now. So yeah. We could do it.
Yeah.
I'd be down with that.
I'm down. Yeah, we could start our own server, dude.
Oh, hell yeah. Sweet.
Well,
let's do it after this, actually.
Sounds good to me.
I bet you could run it on that computer.
Probably.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Hey, I bet. I'm pretty sure you can, dude. StarCraft 2 2011.
Yeah, StarCraft 2. I mean, it would run. I ran the original StarCraft. The hard thing is the touchpad's difficult. It's difficult to control what's going on. I mean, I have to get like an external mouse connected to it. And that's I done that, but it's not perfect. But it's still awesome.
I mean, we're at that time of the year now where the games are kind of slowing down a little bit. I mean, after Star Wars Battlefront, that's it, right? That's basically it.
Except for console owners, got PUBG to look forward to. So that'll be happening.
That's true. But it's funny. It's still going to be in beta when it comes to consoles.
Yeah. It's pretty wild.
It's a paid beta now.
I'm just ready for that new map.
Yep. Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Lots of games to play. We have the whole backlog of 2017. Maybe I'll finally play Persona 2.
Persona 2 or Persona 5?
No, Persona as well. Sorry. Yeah. Persona 5 as well.
Right.
God damn.
Right.
Why you got to be mean about it? Why you got to be mean?
Sorry.
You know how mean Brett is.
I know. I'm a dick. All right. That's going to be it for our games this week. Stay tuned for our gaming news. We'll be right back. We got a lot of good news to talk about. So.
Lots of good news and bad news.
And bad news. Yeah. Good
news.
But
Nintendo Switch coming in hot.
Oh, yeah. We'll be right back after the break.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
It is time for our video game news. In this segment, we share the best headlines from the week in the gaming industry. And first up, we have a big behemoth announcement to talk about. Electronic Arts, the ones known for shutting down Visceral Studios, has recently, as of last week, started a deal to acquire Respawn Entertainment, the developers of Titanfall, for what could possibly reach $455 million in both stock and cash value dollar bills. So this comes to be interesting because they now are going to own the properties Titanfall, Battlefront, and Battlefield, basically almost owning the entire first-person shooter genre under their belt.
Monopoly, it's true, you could say.
So what do you guys think about this this recent purchase? Because this comes hot off the presses after they shut down another studio. And then I wonder if there's any relationship to them buying this. They were like, let's tank this one to buy this other one. But there may not be any kind of relationship there. It could have just been coincidence that it happened at the same time. Man. But what do you think?
I don't know. It's a lot of fucking money.
I don't think it's going to bode well for Respawn in the long run.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think about studios that EA owns now versus studios that they bought and then shuttered. So Westwood was shuttered. Visceral was shuttered. I'm trying to think of all the other studios that no longer exist. Maxis was shuttered as well.
Damn, I forgot about that.
So how it's been in the past, and I don't think that it's necessarily going to be the case now, especially because, for example, Westwood Studios, who made Red Alert, they were purchased by EA when they were kind of on the way down. Like they were almost bankrupt.
Right.
But then they got their windows, or they got their offices boarded up very soon after because they just weren't profitable while still making Red Alert 3, which is arguably the best in the series, or one of the best in the series. If we're going off of history, this might not be great for Respawn. I think the fact that they're being recognized for their work and are now being owned by this massive company is great, but it's kind of scary, dude, especially with EA going all that free-to-play shit. Like Titanfall 2 didn't have any of that.
Right.
Titanfall 3 is going to have all of that now. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, it's kind of scary, man. Push it in there.
Oh, now now we're starting to see these behemoths of companies like really trying to take over the industry. And I mean, in my opinion, it's definitely negative overall, but
yeah, it's pretty bad when you get these big giants that can just like buy up studios just to acquire their resources and stuff.
Somebody
and
had to be like, yes, I will let you buy this company.
Right. Well, and so. Like, I mean, it's Vince Zampella, who is like the CEO of Respawn, and I am not surprised that he was in it for some kind of acquisition at some point, because when they started, they just started like fresh, like their own independent studio, and just like built the game from the ground up. But I'm sure at some point he wanted to get bought because they grew fast. Right. And I'm sure that costs a lot of money. And then having like a big publisher that controls them now, I mean, they now have a massive pool of money that they can use to just turn it up so much more.
Right.
But that could be a bad thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with it. I mean, I know that Titanfall is not dead. They obviously made mistakes and they released Titanfall 2 and Battlefield 1 around the same time. But they aren't giving up on Titanfall. They're working on some other property. There are other things with Titanfall, and we just don't know what that'll be yet. So we'll see what happens. But it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's just, man, I hope it all goes well. I mean, they still have some great studios, but it's possible that they'll just buy it and rebrand it as another EA studio, like rebrand it as EA Los Angeles, which is already closed. But some great studios are gone, man. Like Pandemic, who worked on the original Battlefront 2, they don't exist anymore, man.
That sucks.
Wow.
DICE LA, who did Medal of Honor, and then Westwood, of course, who did Red Alert. But I don't know. Here's hoping for the best, man. At least they're getting bought for a ridiculous sum of money, which I think they're definitely worth.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be a good payday for the heads of the company.
For sure, man.
So on the opposite sad part of things, Telltale.
I mean, I guess story one could still be considered sad from whatever direction you're coming
from.
Yeah,
that's true.
This is definitely sad, though.
Telltale has laid off 90 employees, which is about one quarter of their staff. And that's a lot. That's huge. So
it's a huge amount of,
they're trying to downsize and kind of like get more focused and deliver fewer, better games with a smaller team. So right now it's hard to think about how many different things they're working on consecutively, but they have the Batman series. They're in the middle of the Guardians of the Galaxy series. I think they have one. I think they were working on something with Walking Dead again, maybe. I can't remember. But there's several that they have going at the same time. And there was talks of like The Wolf Among Us becoming another thing. So they cut a lot, and now they're going to get more focused. And hopefully in doing this, they work on their engines more to make them better games.
Actually very happy to hear about this. Not happy that people are getting let go, but...
Right.
Given the industry and how the popular and in demand it is, I'm pretty sure they're going to get a job pretty quickly here. But I'm in the industry, so I don't know. With that said, I'm glad they're refocusing and they're looking at the current time we're in. And although I do think Telltale was good early on, I think up to this point, I don't endure their games anymore, and I think they need to update a lot of their stuff and revitalize what they are.
They need to build a new engine and add in some better... They just need to make the gameplay a lot better, because the gameplay has just gotten super stale.
Right.
And
well, it was all about the story at first, and now I feel like a lot of games have come up to speed with that in many ways, and so you know, you can get that. You can get your kicks somewhere else with much more entertaining gameplay.
Right.
So...
Yeah, well, I'm glad that it comes off as this being a restructure. I'm kind of scared that this actually wasn't a restructure. It was actually Telltale not being up to speed like they thought they were. Like maybe, yeah, they took on too many projects and that kind of cut into their ability to be profitable across the board. And maybe they just needed the money from paying 90 extra people to maybe build a new engine, and that really does kind of affect sort of what's going on. But either way, they have a lot of work cut out for them. Best wishes to those 90 people. My hope is that they at least got shipped off to other studios. That tends to be the case. The development community is very tight-knit, so hopefully they're working on some good stuff, maybe over at what's the studio that's working on Detroit Become Human?
Shit, what are they called?
How many
the ones that did Heavy Rain, didn't they?
Right. Yeah, they did Heavy Rain, and I was going to say someone, that's not it. What studio is it? I can't believe I forgot it.
I was going to say
anyway,
Santa Monica.
Studios like
but
that who
them.
Do very story based games, I hope that they at least find work somewhere. In
Quantum Dream.
Quantum Dream.
Yeah, Quantum Dream. Quantic Dream.
Quantic, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope so
Hopefully
too.
It works out. Maybe they'll come out with something that's real good, real, real, real good. I haven't really liked any of their stuff to begin with, but that's just me.
Yeah.
I would agree with you.
So the Nintendo Switch came out and did not have any streaming apps on it, but it did have a couple of good games, you know, Zelda and things of that nature. And since then has gotten better and better and better. And now we're like huge, huge fans and advocates of it. They just like dropped Hulu on the eShop quietly and was like, hey, you can get Hulu now.
What's up? Didn't even know that was happening until I think you reminded me, Brett.
Yeah.
Someone reminded me.
Posted like, up there and it's there. So,
well, there wasn't ever like a tell. Like no one ever said anything. They just said, it'll be here. And then one day they're like, it's on. I'm like, what the fuck? What happened?
You guys haven't got...
I haven't gotten it yet.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's basically just like the PlayStation app or, you know, any...
I mean, they Hulu's like carried that design now to like all of their platforms. Like even on Apple TV, the new Apple TV, they have that same design with the tiles and stuff like that.
I mean, it works just the same.
Yeah.
It works great on the Switch. I mean, I feel like if this is your only console, it's just going to be even better now. So
I was surprised it wasn't touchscreen enabled though for that app.
You think it, well, I mean, I guess that's Hulu's doing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I was surprised it didn't like take advantage of
it. I'd rather
the
get it on there than not. Plus, it has the TV portion too. So now you can watch TV on your Switch if you have Hulu TV.
Mm.
That's pretty incredible.
Shit, I didn't think about that.
There it is. Look at that. Switch is even
it's
better.
Got,
So it's only a matter of time before Netflix, right? I mean,
Netflix will be here by the end of the year. There's no way. Yeah, like, there's no way it's not.
If they get Netflix and then they throw in some HBO on there, that'd be nice.
Dude, I want YouTube really bad.
Oh, yeah, YouTube, duh. You got to have
YouTube. And then, of course, an internet browser. Twitch would be a great one.
Twitch would be awesome.
Twitch, you can just put it.
You got a kickstand.
Perfect.
Well, you know, that's the internet browser, you know, on the PlayStation was just like, why is this even here? But, yeah,
so
it just makes sense that it needs to be on there. I don't.
On the Switch, it makes a lot of sense. On the PlayStation, I never really understood it.
I feel like it's only there so you can log into hotel internet, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is what I use it for. The Switch would be awesome if it's touchscreen enabled, but that's neither here nor there. This is exciting, dude. I just bought my brother a Switch.
Nice.
As a present for becoming a lawyer and to do a real job now.
Does he have time to play that?
I'm glad that it's getting to this point because he can't put it down because of one Mario, but now he watches Hulu like every second of his life. So now he's just got it in his hands, and then he'll put like football on while watching something on Hulu too.
he's gonna need that battery case that they're coming out with.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. So yeah, it's pretty exciting. I'm looking forward to seeing what else they draw. I mean, just Switch is just killing it. So keep up the good work, Switch. Next story we have here is PlayStation. They have added a little thing. It's not huge, but they've added an ability to where unlocking PlayStation trophies can earn you a little bit of money.
Say what?
This is a new program that they're doing that basically what's going to happen is you earn points by unlocking silver, gold, and platinum trophies in the games you play. You get those points, you know, are divvied out like 100 points for a platinum trophy, 10 points for a gold trophy, 1 point for silver. If you get 1,000 points, you can claim a $10 PSN voucher. So like that's not really much, but you are over time technically getting paid to play a lot and yeah, play games and use the trophies. So I mean, it's a neat little reward. I mean, they said that the PlayStation user with the highest trophy count, Ruffdaw 4, has 15,000 silver, over 15,000 silver, 6,900 gold, and 1,300 platinum trophies. If he redeemed everything at the rate mentioned above, that would net him $1,583. So that's a lot of shit, though. Like, I don't know how many trophies I even have. I haven't even looked because I don't pay attention to trophies that much.
You know what they also don't tell you, though?
What?
Is that you can't redeem trophies you already have.
Oh, yeah. This is, starting now. So, yeah.
That sucks.
All the old trophies you have are just there.
I wonder what Greg Miller is thinking right now.
Oh, I know. He's probably like, God damn it. I worked so hard these.
I never saw a reason, but now, like, this gives me a little incentive to try to maybe achieve a little more.
But, like, really, how much more incentive does it give you? Like,
it's not much.
I feel like if it was, like, 10% more, maybe. Like, I think that would kind of push some people. But, I mean, this could be a good opportunity for PlayStation to get even more people on their platform. Like, hey, if you play enough games on here, we'll give you money back. Like, that's so freaking cool. Right. It's probably because they're going the information route. More people play games, and then they get more information from you, which kind of like a net zero thing. Plus, who's going to, like, the guy who plays the most games on PlayStation is going to get $1,500. Like, that's great. But that's one dude. No one else is close to that guy.
I think what's going to be interesting is to see how much sales increase for games that have really stupid, simple trophies. Firewatch, where like you just have to play the game to get trophy, like per sex section. Like, I feel like we're going to see some increases of people trying to get simple trophies.
Yeah, it's easily abused. Cause apparently the whole trophy, like initiating trophies in the games is like super stupid easy, and just like, there was one that I heard kind of funny talk about where all you do is like hit something and you make toilet paper roll
I am mayo, dude. You just tap a jar of mayo. It's kind of like Cookie Clicker, that game in browser game, which by the way, I love
dude,
that game.
That game is, I played like 4 hours of that game one day.
What the fuck?
It was amazing. I amassed
I got
so
up to like 20
money.
Trillion cookies, dude. Like, I played a lot of that game. It's stupid as fuck.
It's so bad, but it's amazing.
Something just great about like achieving easy platinum. But that maybe that's a, like a double-edged sword kind of thing. They're doing this now. Maybe it'll make them get off their ass and not allow games like that into their library.
Awesome.
Like,
it's possible.
Advertise it as the easy platinum. You get 10 easy platinums. That's $10 or something.
Yeah. It's not too bad. It's not too bad. So next up, Niantic, the creators of Pokemon Go, they are working on a new game coming out next year that is a Harry Potter themed augmented reality game. It'll be called Harry Potter Wizards Unite, letting you role play as wizards and witches. So you're going to go around real world neighborhoods and cities across the globe and go on adventures, learn and cast spells, discover artifacts, and encounter legendary beasts and iconic characters. Wizards in the real world. Can you imagine right now you're downtown Austin, Texas, or something like that? You got people running around throwing their phones, saying like spells and stuff, like Lumos or something. I don't remember the spell name.
Spelliamus or something.
Just killing other. I'd just be yelling Avada Kedavra like everywhere. Yeah. People be like, oh fuck.
You're gonna see people like flinging their arms and their phone's gonna go flying out of their hands.
I'm gonna make a case right now so it has a little thing attached to it so you don't lose your phone. I'll make millions,
dude. A case that has a stick that comes out.
Yes.
The end. It looks like a wand.
Copyright pending.
Oh,
no
man.
One can take that.
It's going to be amazing.
I'm so down. Or what they could do is just make an attachment. Not even an attachment, like a whole case. You can just make the wand. Like, you know how you can go to Universal and buy wands?
By the
way, my wand is right there. I have a Sirius Black's wand. It's
nice.
Super dope. Just make it like integrated with the app, like the Pokemon Go one. The step counter thingy. You don't even have to attach it to your phone. Dude, that's lit.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what this is going to
I'm going to be a Hufflepuff.
Yes. Hufflepuff.
I like
Hufflepuff. Everyone knows that's the best
win.
One.
Yeah, Hufflepuff's pretty
Everyone's
cool.
a Hufflepuff where they want to be.
I only hope this game has learned a lot from Pokemon Go and they actually do it right this time.
Yeah.
I mean, Pokemon Go is pretty, I think it's pretty good now, isn't it?
No, it's actually amazing. I haven't played it since all the new updates, but I'm kind of itching to get back in it.
We should do it. We should go around.
Dude, imagine if it was full-fledged to begin with, and then they released it, how much more money they probably would have made.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, they still make... It's still the highest grossing game on the market, but...
No, damn, they would have made billions.
This Harry Potter one is going to freaking explode, hopefully.
Yeah, I think it's going to be big, because I feel like... I mean, Pokemon's got a huge following, but I almost feel like Harry Potter could have a bigger following.
I think
so. If you think about it, because it had a wider audience.
Right.
Where Pokemon was like focused on like people our age or younger, Harry Potter like attracted people from like 2 years old all the way up to like my mom loves Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And things like that, whereas she doesn't care about Pokemon.
So we're going to see a lot of old people out there. Just yeah.
Yeah. No, it's going to be, it's going to be great.
How awesome would it be if you had like Wizard Wars? Like, you'd have like 100 people lined up versus 100 people on the other side. And then you all just like threw your phones like, and then you know, there was like an explosion or something. Like, I don't know.
It could be wild. It could be
right,
wild.
It would make Halloween so great. I'd be Harry Potter every year and just be like, let's play this game. Right.
That's the
loser buys a shot. Like, all right.
Oh,
dude,
man.
That's exciting, man. Yeah. They should do it for a... So I'm trying to think, what else could they do that with, right? So there's Pokemon, there's Harry Potter.
There's Digimon.
What are their augmented reality?
Mean, you could do... damn, we just talked about this. What's the new game coming out for the Switch you said I was going to like?
Monster Hunter.
Oh, dude, that one would be pretty
That would
lit,
be sick,
right?
Actually. Go fight that would be freaking dinosaurs lit. Outside.
Yeah, yeah. I would play that.
Wonder what that'd be
the
like.
The Harry Potter one's actually pretty on point, dude. As yeah. far as like a universe, dude, Dragon Ball Z would be awesome.
Oh, you know what's gonna? Oh, that actually be really cool.
But people would probably break their phones like doing something stupid, like to do like a Kamehameha. You'd have to hold your phone like this and then
yeah.
like, hold it up,
charge it up. You have to yell into your phone.
Yeah, I bet you they're gonna do some collaboration events at the Harry Potter worlds at Disneyland and Disney World when this app comes out.
Oh, no doubt, dude.
Like
no
you could
doubt.
Totally go to like Hogwarts and like. Be there and
be
play the game.
Walk,
yeah, that's gonna be nuts.
What do you call it when you have to go on some kind of like religious walk or travel?
Like a oh shit, I know what you're talking about.
What's it called?
Like a fuck. What's it? What is it? Not a mission trip, but like a I don't know.
It's like where everyone goes like once
yeah,
a year to go.
Yeah, it's
like,
what is that thing? I don't remember. The
oh, pilgrimage.
Kind yeah, of
it. That's one of the terms. It's a different one, though, I'm thinking of.
Sabbatical?
No.
That's when you just take time
I'm
off.
I'm pretty sure the word you're looking for is pilgrimage. That's I'm
something
pretty sure
else.
That's it
it's something like...
No, there's another one. I know what you're talking
farther
about.
Farther back term. Anyway. Yeah.
Farther...
We'll think of it.
I don't know.
We'll get there. We'll
know.
Get there. A Mecca. No.
That's... I don't know. Maybe. Point is, Harry Potter's going to be dope, and I'm Hufflepuff, and I'll probably be Seeker of the Quidditch team.
There it is. I wonder if they have Quidditch on that. That'd be cool.
People riding around on their phones.
Oh my god.
It looks so stupid.
Someone like it's like, oh, okay, we'll have like 10v10 and then we'll have one person or 10 no, it'd be 10v10 and then basically 21 people, and then you can have one random person be the snitch, but it's random, so you don't know. And then the person who's the snitch has to run around with their phone, and then once another person gets on top of him in GPS, bruh. Quidditch on your phone.
Boom.
Man, it might be a pilgrimage. I just feel like there's another word.
Copyright. It's pilgrimage, dude. I'm positive it's pilgrimage.
Anyway, so let's go to our last story here. last thing we have, Grand Theft Auto 5. It is the United States best-selling game of all time.
Ever. I think the only game that sold more. It passed Wii Sports for 85 million. On the second list, the best-selling game of all time, I believe, is still Tetris, which I imagine will be untouched forever. But who knows?
Wait, it says this is the best-selling game of all time.
It beat Tetris?
Yeah. In the United States, it is. It says it's the United States' best-selling game ever. The release consistently ranks both Grand Theft Auto Online and Grand Theft Auto 5 as big sources of revenue, blah, blah, blah. Big news, et cetera, da da da. I don't know. It's supposed to be the best game of all time sales in the United States. It's wild. 85 million units.
It's pretty good, man. Yeah, I'm looking at it now. As far as like units across all consoles ever, forever, Tetris, 170 million.
Damn.
Minecraft, 122 million. And then Grand Theft Auto is 85.
Huh.
Dang. Can't believe it beat Wii Sports, which was a pack-in for all the Wii Sports or all the consoles that the Wii sold. That's crazy.
Right?
My God, look at... Oh, and the top 10 is all Nintendo games.
Yeah, wow. I also heard that the Switch surpassed, in less than a year, has surpassed sales of the Wii U's entire lifespan.
Nice.
I don't think that's true. Has it sold 10 million across already?
Yeah.
I thought it was only like 6 million. Nintendo Switch sales. That's a crazy feat, by the way, for Grand Theft Auto V, especially because the game is 4 years old.
Right.
Man, and people are still buying it.
Killing it for him.
I have no idea how. I don't know if Rockstar even believed that was going to be the case with this game, but that online community is insane. So insane. Let's see.
Yeah, no, by the end of the year, they said it's on track to beat out Wii U.
Yeah, I was just checking it out. But 7.63 million? Dang. And then once GTA 5 comes to the Switch, it's over, dude. Then it's going to pass Tetris.
You think it'll come to the Switch?
I don't know, man. They're pretty good at... maybe not that one. Maybe they'll bring like GTA 4. But you also have to think GTA 5 came out on the Xbox 360 generation.
That's true. That's true. It's capable.
And the Switch is more powerful than that.
Yeah.
So it's possible they bring it over with just like the story side of it. Or maybe they bring in GTA Online separate and make it like two separate games.
It's the Switch. It's just changed what everything
I wonder if
can
any
be.
Game will ever...
Oh, yeah.
I don't think any game will ever get to that point again. Like GTA 5 sold on... If you think about it, GTA 5 has probably sold as much as it has because it's been on three console generations, basically.
Right.
I'm including PC as a second generation.
No, I agree.
On a shitty computer and then a better computer.
Right.
Dang.
It's awesome.
Well, props to Rockstar and the guys over at 2K. That's incredible. Also, 2K makes Civilization. I didn't know that. And now I do.
There
Makes
you
me
go.
Realize just how big 2K is.
Yeah.
Probably.
When I saw them at E3, I was like, who are these people? And it was them. It was the publishing company. I was like, wow, this
is
huge.
It's insane, dude.
And they just had a bunch of money set up there for business meetings. And it was a massive facility. Anyway, so that's going to wrap up our news this week. If there's something that we miss, we want to hear from you guys. Email us at hello@theinnergamer.net, and we will talk about it next week. We'll be right back after a short break to talk about our discussion topic on exciting video games. So stay tuned.
Exciting video games.
Da, 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 da.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
Anyway, so today we're going to talk about video game sequels, specifically games that basically push the franchise to what it's known for after the first game came out. So there's a lot of games that have been developed that have become really popular franchises, but that first one may either have not gotten enough recognition because people didn't pick it up yet, or the first game just sucked, or the other option is that the first game was good, but then it got way better as time went on. So we're going to look at those three different groups and talk about those types of games and just kind of do a history of video game sequels and what we like and what we dislike. So starting off, let's open up with the first one we have here, which is going to be games that sucked at first when they came out, but then got better as time went on. Like, so the sequel, for example, was good, but that first one was just not good.
I think it's worth noting too that sucked is like a very like sucked doesn't mean like it got a 40 or like a 4 out of 10 or something. Sucked could just mean like comparatively sucked, or just wasn't as well received as nearly the next one. And I think this first game is a pretty big testament to that too.
Yep. So number one we have is Assassin's Creed. Assassin's Creed is a game that we have seen the ups and downs through the history. But specifically looking back to the first game, it was such an incredible concept. such a cool idea. You could climb. It was open world. There was this awesome story thing going on, but it got so repetitive so fast.
Right.
And it was kind of a grind as you got further through.
Which is funny because something like that, you think it would be, since it's pretty new,
right,
it'd be really interesting and really push you throughout the game as the core gameplay element. But yeah, obviously as it went forward, I think the story really kind of helped it along.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Especially with Ezio and all that.
Ezio. Yeah. That was where it got good. So Assassin's Creed 2 introduced Ezio as a character. The first game was Altair, and then Ezio came in. He had personality. He had spunk. He was just such a character that you enjoyed and loved to listen to and talk to and just know who he was as a person.
Right.
And that just made the game so much better. And you know, after that, I mean, there's debate that Assassin's Creed kind of dropped a little bit. AC3 was not the, it was good, but it was different. And then we had some misses there. And then now recently we got Origins, which, as you've heard in recent podcasts, Austin is a huge fan of. So
surprising. Very surprising.
It's
a breath of fresh air, easily. I mean, they kind of taken the best of everything and taking a page out of The Witcher's book and made the world something you really want to traverse and just check out and really dive into and immerse yourself in.
Right.
Super immersive.
Yeah.
Plus, Egypt is amazing, and it's cool to go back in that time and kind of explore the realm of Egypt and how it actually, how it affects, you know, all that region of stuff.
Right. Right. Louise, you played Assassin's Creed, the original Assassin's Creed, right? Or did you not? Or did you?
No, I played the original Assassin's Creed. I agree. For the most part, I didn't think AC3 was all that great. AC4 was whatever. But there was a good chunk of games within there that were pretty good. I mean, obviously, Black Flag is considered by some to be the second best in the series, just behind Assassin's Creed 2. But I agree. I think Assassin's Creed, it took what was good about the first game and then built upon it and made Assassin's Creed 2 one of the must-have games of the year and probably one of the top games of the last 10. I'm glad that it's getting pretty good reviews and has been reviewed pretty well. I'm glad that you enjoyed it as well, Austin. But the first Assassin's Creed definitely wasn't that great.
Yeah.
And for me, like, the draw for playing the first Assassin's Creed was literally the word assassin. Like, how awesome is it that you can play a game as in assassin,
right,
which is easily the coolest class in any game I ever played. I always pick the assassin, even though it's typically pretty hard and repetitive, just like the game was. But I agree 100%, man. Assassin's Creed has come quite a long way, and I think it's moving in the direction it needs to. But I'd say holistically, overall, it's gotten much better since that first run at it.
Oh, yeah. So another game that we want to look at that's first game was not the best, but then got better over time was Grand Theft Auto. So few people may know this, but like Grand Theft Auto originally was like a top-down type of game.
Blows my mind.
And then I think it was Grand Theft Auto 3 that was introducing the third-person traditional, what we know Grand Theft Auto as now. And that was when that was actually the first Grand Theft Auto I ever played was Grand Theft Auto 3. And then I really got into it Vice City, which came after that. And that was just so good. And then from there, man. It's just such a good, I mean, Vice City was great. San Andreas was fantastic. And then
4 was good.
Yeah. Just a lot of good stuff there. So
when 3 came out, man, I could not believe how much fun I could have endlessly as a kid.
Just being a criminal.
As a young teen. Yeah, seriously, we just go around. It was literally a sandbox game, which is technically the first I've ever experienced. And so I literally bought that game 3 times over at Blockbuster because I wanted to play it so much.
I mean, a lot of people don't really realize it, but even the first GTA, and I was kind of like breezing through this review really quick on IGN for GTA 1, but I mean, that was technically like that first iteration of an open world game. Like, there's a reason why GTA is considered the best open world ever, and the reason why games are all open world now is because GTA perfected it with San Andreas and, you know, GTA 4. And they're continuing to show that now. I mean, GTA 5 is like every single game since that first one, I guess, has gotten better and better and better. And now the best is GTA 5. So much so that it sold 85 million copies, which we briefly mentioned earlier.
It was insane.
These Grand Theft Auto games, man.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, that first one is just weird. Like, have y'all ever played like Hotline Miami or like Ruiner or any of those top-down shooter games? Because that's what it looked like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I played a few. I didn't play Hotline Miami, but I played games similar to
that. You're basically looking on the top of his head, and he's just kind of running, and his arms are like out here, like doing this shit. But that's definitely, that's probably the best example of a first game that just wasn't good, and then it just got like damn good. Like,
right.
Holy crap, how did this even happen?
Right. Good. No, it's amazing that where you've seen that, how that game's evolved over time. I mean, looking back on Vice City, and whenever they announced San Andreas, I was like, man, this is like beyond belief. Like, they have three distinct cities in this world, and then they come out with like five, which is not three distinct cities, but that like the outer lands that they have, you know, the countryside and stuff like that. It's just so huge. They got it down. They know what's up.
And I love how they have a satire on our society and culture. Oh, yeah. Like, I think that's just what really makes it something special. It's just like everyone relates to it. I mean, you hear about, you know, I don't know. I don't know any like specifics about the satire.
Well, but like,
I mean,
listen to the radio, you know, when you're like driving to the car and they have like stuff that it's just like, you know, talking it's like a politic radio show going on and making fun of American politics, or they'll have like some rap star that, you know, makes a kid with this other person, and they just make fun of like all the celebrity crap that is real life, but
reality
just,
TV shows, and all that nonsense.
It's really good.
So
really,
I don't know
if
that was in the earlier games at all. I don't remember that being so much in GTA 3. I mean, it was, but it wasn't like,
there was a touch of it, but it definitely got bigger as time went on. They just started getting more bold with the satires and stuff like that. Another one, you know, on the same vein, talking Rockstar, the Red Dead series. Like, you know, nobody really relates Red Dead Revolver to Red Dead Redemption, but Red Dead Revolver was the first of that series. And I remember playing Red Dead Revolver a little bit. I liked it. It was fun, but it wasn't anything like super exciting. Then Redemption was just like, oh my gosh, what is this game? The story is good. The world is amazing. There's so much to do here. It just went another level. And that shows that that game needed an open world to really shine.
Oh, yeah.
So
was Red Dead Revolver good? Like,
Story, I mean, it was good.
Gameplay, gunplay.
The gunplay was pretty good. It wasn't open world. It was more like a linear kind of game.
First person shooter?
Yes, it was first person. Yeah. Louise, did you play Red Dead Revolver?
I like dabbled, I guess. Yeah. But it wasn't really anything that grabbed me. I mean, it took an open world for me to be interested in the Wild West. I wasn't really like a rootin' tootin' kind of gun shooting kid. Like, I didn't really like that kind of shit. I was more like space and all that kind of stuff.
You're in Texas. What the fuck?
No, man. I would go out and do that shit myself. You know, like, I was the Texan. I was the guy shooting people. I wasn't shooting anyone. That's crazy. I played it a little bit. I was tempted to buy it on PlayStation because it recently came to like the PS2 on PS4.
Yeah.
But from what I've been told, there's no connection at all between the two games. It just went a completely separate direction.
Yeah.
And like, probably something that the series needed. And now Red Dead 2, man. Oh, geez. Lots of expectations for that one, especially with GTA 5, man.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
I can't. I'm so excited. I'm curious to see what they're going to do with the multiplayer on Red Dead Redemption 2.
Right.
Like, that'll be really interesting, especially with the success of GTA
Online.
You
can have a friend control the horse, and then you control the person.
Like Super Mario.
You can throw your cap on, you can throw your cowboy hat on an ox or a bull or something.
I just really hope that your friend's like controlling the character, and I can just have the horse stop and just take a shit. Like, that's just what I want. I just want to stop taking shit every 5 seconds. We're being shot at by guys on a train, and I'm just like, oh, my horse got to take a shit.
Yeah.
Here we go. Let's do it.
Yeah.
So that's a couple games we got that are games that were not very good at first, but got better over time. So let's talk a little bit about games that were good, but then got way better as time went on. The first one, I think the most obvious one to the, well, if you're a PlayStation owner, this is most obvious, but the Uncharted series. The first one was good. I mean, there's no major complaints about it other than the fact that the gunplay was just very shallow.
When it first came out, was like, this is the game to play.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I don't have a PlayStation.
Yeah.
Or, 3.
and then just seeing where it's gone, and then it's most importantly Uncharted 4, Thief's End, and then also Lost Legacy, to see where it is now. And I had done that last year or this year, which is I was really glad I did, to play 1 through 4 like consecutively to see the evolution as time went on.
Night and day. I mean,
oh my gosh, literally night and day cycles. Like, you got that happening everywhere. But yeah, it's just, it's crazy. I mean, they'd had such a good baseline with that game when they started it. And then just the fact that they listened to their fan base and was like, we need to do a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And I like that they open it up a little bit, but not enough to be an open world. Cause I don't think this game would have been as good in an open world setting, but the pseudo open world was really awesome. But man, that game, so such a good franchise.
Yeah, and not just like graphically either. Like they,
right,
just like in Assassin's Creed and in those games we just talked about, they took the best parts of the first games and made them even better, including from a story perspective. I mean, when you first start off, you could sort of meet everyone, you know, no one really has levels. And then, you know, by 2 and 3, you're already kind of falling in love with these people. And by 4, you're just like, you know, your heartstrings are being tugged in every which direction when certain things happen and
they eventually
don't happen. Like, I just think that Uncharted is one of those series that has kind of got it right. And I mean, obviously it stemmed one of the greatest games of all time in The Last of Us, in another series, The Last of Us.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which is can't wait to see.
That makes it sort of like the ultimate in terms of good then got better. But it isn't just Uncharted, though, man. I think for the Xbox side, and Austin, you'd probably be the one to say, because I never played much of Halo 1, if I'm honest. But Halo 2 and Halo 3, for me, were night and day. Like, Halo 2 was great. That was like where multiplayer became that thing.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
Halo
yeah.
3 was just perfection
right.
for me on right. 360.
Now, they just got progressively better. Like, me and Travis, we ate up Halo 1. Like, we just played that game to our, you know, our fingers got raw. And then, obviously, Halo 2 multiplayer, and then Halo 3 campaign and multiplayer, and then, you know, Halo Reach.
Now, would you agree that from what I understand in the franchise, and I never played I played the multiplayer in Halo 2, but not to that extent, but do you feel like Halo 2's single player was not as good as Halo 1?
I
heard that one wasn't as good. Yeah.
Yeah, but the multiplayer was just not
because it was actual multiplayer at that point. You
exactly,
know, they added that in there, and then, well, not actual,
they had refined a lot.
Online multiplayer.
Yeah, a lot from like the LAN aspect of it really pushed it. And I don't think there's, I think that's the funnest multiplayer I've ever played.
Yeah.
Up to this day.
Even better. Wait, but Destiny, though. I mean, stop. I mean, you got all Destiny,
right,
man.
All right.
That's multiplayer.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's basically Halo.
Yeah.
Except with specials.
With special powers. Yes.
Yeah. You can, like, jump really high and launch Dawnblade swords at people and kill people until they die. And it's amazing. But
dude, you can play a pretty good version of Halo on PC. It's so great, dude. I forgot what it's called. It's like one of those open Halo games.
Mm.
That's been my way of playing it recently. It's so good.
Which one? The first Halo or?
It's actually a mix. It's basically they remastered, I think it was Halo 3. Or Halo 2,
and then they
threw in all the best maps. Like, that's all they did.
Oh, that's cool.
So I'm trying to find it here. There's a subreddit dedicated to it, but I'll let y'all know.
Please, I want to play that.
Yeah, I mean, those Halo games are incredible. I was just hoping Halo 5 may have been a little bit better. Maybe I would have bought the Xbox if that was the case.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, unlike some other people that did and were sorely disappointed.
That's
but
mean.
I feel like Devin, when he bought, what was that game called?
Oh, yeah, shit, now I'm blanking on the name. Yeah, the Order 1886. Yeah, that was hilarious. Yeah, but that definitely got better. Another one, Call of Duty. Now, I say this with an asterisk because to me,
it's
like
to a point,
Call of Duty 1 is still like one of my favorite games of all time, and I think it was the most amazing Call of Duty experience ever, because I clocked in well over 800 hours in that game.
God dang.
Like, I kid you not, I have more hours in Call of Duty 1 than I have any game in history. But with that said, it did get better as time went on,
right?
For the most part.
Right.
Like, Modern Warfare 1, I think, is that's when I feel like it peaked. granted, Black Ops was like a great single player. The multiplayer was pretty good, but I still think Modern Warfare 1 is a better multiplayer.
Yes, I agree.
And then after that, it's just kind of been hit and miss. But right. Man, like it did change a lot. I mean, a lot happened. Now, Call of Duty 3, that's an exception. That wasn't very good. I didn't like Call of Duty 3 at all. But Call of Duty 2 was really solid. Modern Warfare was incredible. Modern Warfare 2 was good. Not as good as 1, but it was good. And they just started adding more systems and stuff into it where it just, you know, it became what it is. I mean, there's a reason it's a hit every year. And Call of Duty World War 2 has already, like, surpassed the last game in however long it's been. Like, it's sold like crazy.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Hype.
Hype indeed. Hype indeed.
It's got that.
Did you play Call of Duty 1, right, Austin?
Yeah.
A little bit.
I think 2 and 3 are more notable for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if I remember correctly, 3 was just console, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
I feel like 3.
No.
They made it console only.
I played one of those on the PC.
Because there was a weird thing at that point, because like whenever Call of Duty 2 came out, that was the first Call of Duty that was on console.
Right.
And they brought it on like the Xbox or whatever plus PC. I remember PC community was pissed off because they added all these console things that made it more console friendly.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure 3
strictly
was only
console.
And then 4 was when they went all out.
Okay.
And all brought right. another PC game.
I played
just
most of them. I think it was, I guess it was Call of Duty 2 I played on PC, and then the rest yeah. I played on console.
Yeah. Because they had like, and in between there, they had Call of Duty World at War, which is made by Treyarch. That was the first Treyarch game. That was a PC and console game.
True.
And they had Big Red 1, which was exclusive to consoles. There's a whole bunch of them that yeah. weren't as good, but
yeah.
But I mean, it's still, that's one of those things that did, it kept going and getting better and better as time went on.
Yeah.
And then they have zombies and all these other things
that's
now.
Just
and it's
better
like
and
3 games.
Zombies. Oh, that's the only reason why I want to buy this new one, actually. Just
you
to play
should.
Some damn zombies.
The zombies is pretty cool. You should. I mean, we have it on PlayStation 4. If you pick that up, we can do some zombie co-op stuff.
Maybe, man. Maybe yeah. I'm pretty addicted to this Civilization game, bro. Civilization zombies, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you could be any country you want, but they're zombie countries, you know? You could
zombie,
be fighting
yeah,
French
you could be
zombies.
A zombie Germany, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. Brett, tell us about this this one game that was sort of unknown, but then
oh yeah,
got
yeah.
more
so,
recognition.
Yeah, the next section we have is going to be games that were unknown at first, but then got recognition as time went on. So
yeah, and this doesn't they could fall into the first game wasn't great, first game was good category.
Right.
But then it's mostly the recognition part. There was a lot of unknown series that eventually came out of the woodwork and emerged as these powerhouses for either a while there or to this day.
Such as the Burnout series. So
yeah.
The Burnout Racing
still
series.
Still unknown to me.
Yeah, right? So Burnout was known for like huge epic car crashes. Like they made those things like so there.
Right.
And then it wasn't until I feel like Burnout 3 where it became, okay, this is a hit franchise that just blows up people's minds. And I played the original Burnout. I don't remember much of it. I just remember blowing a crashing a bunch of cars a lot because I just love the fact that they had such a good damage engine that would just like destroy cars. But I don't remember much beyond that. But Burnout 3, I did play a lot of that, and that was a lot of fun. So they improved a lot.
Yeah, it's always been about just really fast cars and crashing and stuff. But from that first game on, I mean, the first game wasn't very well known. It was actually published by Acclaim, who
yeah.
also did that Turok game that I was talking about earlier. But Burnout didn't really have all of the elements that, for example, 2 had, which Burnout 2, Point of Impact, was all about crashing. That's all it was. And then Burnout 3 refined that even more by adding in the crash mode and like slowing shit down, but also staying true to those tenets that made the first game and the second game so awesome. And Burnout 3, probably the best soundtrack of any game I've ever played. At that point, EA got their hands on it. Like EA was the one who started publishing. yeah, that's what I'm... Criterion is still around, though, the people who actually do Burnout. But the property in terms of the people who worked on it are out. That said, Burnout 3 Takedown, man. Fantastic game. And then Burnout Paradise when it came to new consoles, man. Burnout Paradise was cool. Open world Burnout.
Yeah.
I don't know none of these games.
That was probably the best selling in the series, and I can check for sure. Yep, that was the best selling in the series. And ever since then, nothing, man.
Yeah.
Nothing since...
But then we do have that some of the development team. What are they making? The Crash Zone or Crash something? It's like the Crash version. I don't remember if it's all the developers, but they're making like basically a Crash like Destruction Derby kind of thing.
Yeah, huh. Interesting.
From that idea, because like Burnout's not a thing anymore, but the guys that were from the Burnout team are now making this new game. I think it's called like Crash Zone. But it's going to be a smaller game.
Right. Oh, it's called Danger Zone, actually.
Danger Zone. There we go. That's what it was.
Yeah, I think it may have already come out, actually. I want to see if it has.
But, fail.
That's always been one of those games that's been near and dear to me. And PS4.
Wasn't that in one of your articles that was like a franchise that should come back? Was that what it was the article
that's
about?
That's definitely one that should come back. I mean, I don't know if it's going to.
Yeah.
But if it ever did, I'm hoping that they capitalize on the name being awesome and also bring back those people who made it awesome, because it's not just something that happens, man.
Oh yeah,
a lot of heart and soul went into this one, and that's why it's one of my favorite games ever.
Yeah, speaking of a game that is now what many would call one of their favorite games ever, the Witcher series. So when this came out, and this is funny because like as a PC gamer, like The Witcher was a thing on PC, but beyond that, like nobody really knew what it was. And the first one I always wanted to play because I heard how just good of an RPG it was.
Right.
But it wasn't amazing. It also just didn't get the recognition at all. Witcher 2 came out. It was really popular. It was challenging. It was a good game. But beyond PC, like nobody ever knew what it was. And then you got The Witcher 3. And it's like this came out all over the place. And it just took the world by storm. And then suddenly like the entire like CD Projekt Red is now the guys. They're like the rock star games RPGs that have propped up,
and now the other games have gotten more recognition, more people buying. They're already doing bundles with that. You can buy the whole series for like $40 or something. On
you went back and played one of the like the two.
I
two,
tried
right?
to jump into The Witcher 2, and I just couldn't do it. The mechanics weren't as refined as The Witcher 3.
I was gonna say, I feel like it'd be hard.
It's more, it's easier. Well, for entry, it's a lot easier.
Yeah.
I think The Witcher 2 is truly like a hardcore RPG.
Right.
If you really wanted to play that. So I'm sure Devin would love that game. very tech heavy. And then I wanted to see what The Witcher 1 was, to see what it was all about, you know, the whole story. And man, the character design and character models and the way it's presented that world is just vastly different from the third one. So I couldn't.
Yeah,
not my thing for The Witcher 1. But I did get the book, and I'm trying to read through that to see see what I missed. Yeah,
was it based on the book originally?
Yeah, it's based on
the
book.
Yeah.
I don't know who the author is. I forget. But yeah,
the guy that wrote The Witcher.
Right.
Look it up. It'll be down here.
Right.
Probably not, actually.
No.
But the Witcher series, man, that's something that. It still blows my mind because I was always Steam, as PC gamer people will know, Steam does sales all the time, and The Witcher 2 would always come up under the Steam sales and be on sale for like, you know, $5 or $10 or whatever. And I saw how good the reviews were, and I almost bought it like 10 times. But I just knew it wouldn't be a game for me, but I just wanted to buy it just to say that, okay, I played this and it's a thing that exists and it's so well known, but I never did. And I got Witcher 3 and I was like, I can't play this, just too much. I stopped for like a month after starting it, and it was too much to consider and learn again.
Right.
Yeah. You got to stick with that game. You got to devote time, and it wasn't happening. But last game, unknown game that got more recognition as time went on, and this might surprise some people, but Elder Scrolls is a game that really wasn't known hardly at all up until Morrowind, I feel like, was the one that really pushed it in the limelight. And You played, that was the one that you played first, right? No, you didn't. What was the one after Oblivion. That? Oblivion. Yeah, Oblivion, that's what it was. The one after that. Yes. So I never knew that it was like a intense RPG, but I remember back in the days when you would go to like Target or whatever and you'd actually see PC games on the shelves, I would see Morrowind and like 10 times. It was right next to, so I remember that this very clearly, this is crazy. So this will date gaming, but I would see Morrowind right next to Black and White. And I always thought those were like the same type of game just based on the cover because they were similar in color tone.
Right.
But then one's a god game and the other one is like an RPG.
Right.
And nice. But they were always right next to each other. Nice. They're on that side where I was like, okay, I can't touch this area because it's complicated stuff that's beyond me. But
playing Oblivion was like playing Grand Theft Auto 3 for the first time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how revolutionary it was, at least in my eyes, when I first played it on the PC. And it was just like, what? You could do all this? You can go anywhere. You can travel. You can walk halfway across this map and go through like three mountain passes and get up on this giant mountain and look over the whole world, you know? It's just like, what?
I remember going over to your house and watching you play it a little bit, and I couldn't get into it, but that
damn it,
that inventory system and stuff like that, like
I understand.
It was always something you else.
The damn inventory.
I know. I hate the inventory.
The inventory system.
But Skyrim's cool. Skyrim's good. Obviously.
Obviously.
Yes.
Skyrim is great. It's great.
Probably gonna buy her.
Yeah, like
Switch.
What is it? Elder Scrolls Arena was the first one.
Yeah,
and I think the Elder Scrolls. Daggerfall is what it was called.
Right.
That one used the same engine that Wolfenstein 3D used, like that weird kind of blocky UI kind of thing. I mean, obviously it was years past it, but
right.
Morrowind's so deserving, man. And I'm glad they brought it. Apparently they brought it back in Elder Scrolls Online. I think it was like a whole addition to the whole game, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm. It was like an expansion.
Milk the shit out of it. But that's do whatever you want, man. I'll play Skyrim 1,000 times.
Apparently we will.
I mean, that's the longest. That's probably one of the longest lasting games. I mean, Nintendo aside, because like Nintendo's lifespan is forever, but the fact that they can continually re-release the game so much and have such a... I mean, when did it come out? 2000?
It's like 5 or 6 years old.
5 or 6?
Yeah, that's not even that long ago.
Yeah.
Honestly, in the grand scheme of things, but in the tech world and in the video game world, like that's ages ago. We've come so far.
I'm surprised that game isn't like one of the best selling games of all time.
You would think. Seriously. Yeah. Like you would think.
Since it's been released on more platforms than I think any other game ever has.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. But so that's it. I think that's everything we got. We hope you guys enjoyed the discussion. If there's any games that fall in any of those three categories, so games that just unknown games that delivered later on that got more recognition, any games that weren't very good at the beginning that got better over time, or games that were good and just got way better later on, like let us know in the comments, give us your input and feedback. There was others out there that we could have talked about, which, you know, for time reasons we didn't, but we want to hear from you guys. Let us know what you think and, share it in the comments below, or if you're on the podcast, you know, shoot us an email, hello@dnrgamer.net, and let us know. We'll chat about it. We'll talk about that stuff. So that is going to conclude our discussion this week. If there's something you want to hear us talk about on a future discussion topic, please let us know at hello@dnrgamer.net. If you are listening to this, don't forget to check out our video segment of this on Thursday. It'll be on youtube.com/dnrgamer.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
Looking forward to next week. Let's talk about our upcoming video game releases.
Yeah.
We have two. Actually, we have three, right? Because Rocket League, you mentioned Rocket League.
Yeah, well, I'll just say that one now. Rocket League's coming out on Tuesday when this cast comes out. So you should buy it if you have a Nintendo Switch because Rocket League's incredible and it should be portable for everything. But we have two other games coming out.
Yep, we have two other games. On the 17th, both of these games are coming out on 17th of November. We have Pokemon Ultra Sun and Moon for the 3DS. This is Pokemon Sun and Moon, but Ultra and more cool. There's new stuff.
And apparently, there's going to be a few new Pokemon.
My gosh.
I haven't played a Pokemon game since they re-released Gold and Silver. But
really? Wow.
I've heard that the 3D ones are extremely good. I'm just not really one for Pokemon anymore.
Yeah.
I like Totodile is no longer in them.
But
Totodile is the best Pokemon ever. Ever.
I
mark my damn words. Spider and Squirtle. I'll say it till the day I die.
Squirtle is amazing.
Yeah, that's why. That makes Totodile that much better. It's mostly in the manga. The manga.
Right.
And in the anime that he's super awesome.
And then the next game we have, this is one that people have been highly anticipating for a while. Hopefully it's going to be amazing. Star Wars Battlefront 2 on the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Mm-hmm. This is the sequel to Battlefront that came out a couple of years ago. We have Battlegrounds, multiplayer Battlegrounds that span all three eras, the prequel, the classic movies, and then the new ones with things like The Force Awakens. And then what's that one that's coming out? The Last Jedi or whatever. Is that what they're calling it?
Yeah, that's it. You got it.
Yeah.
Congrats.
There we go. I remember things. They have a canon story that is going to have you play as the opposite side this time around. So that'll be interesting. And they're going to have a lot of iconic characters such as Kylo Ren, Darth Maul, or Han Solo that you can play as in the game. So that is what's coming out. Guys, what are you playing next week?
Well, fuck, I guess I have to play Rocket League because it's coming out.
I don't know how it's going to like play on the Switch. I know it's going to still run well, but the Joy-Cons are going to be kind of problematic. But of course, Rocket League. Maybe some more Odyssey. Hopefully some more Odyssey. I want to save that game, dude. It's too good to just play through entirely.
And then just give up, yeah, or stop playing after that.
Yeah,
you think it would be something you replay, Odyssey?
I guess that's a little bit tough. I'd probably have to wait, only because that kind of stuff, it's really just about speed at that point. But
right.
I don't really have a method of like gauging how fast I did something in the game because it doesn't tell you.
Right.
So I'd have to kind of like gauge it on my own. That said, probably replay. But I have a feeling that they haven't announced something with Mario and that they're going to add something later. I don't know what, but I think they're going to add something. Maybe a better multiplayer mode.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot they had multiplayer. I don't even think of that game having
it's so weird,
something
dude.
Like that.
You control Cappy and you can throw him any direction you want. So like Mario will be running straight and you can throw him like backwards. You're like, what the? It's like you'll be running and you think you're going to jump and then you throw it at like a Goomba and then you take over the Goomba and you fall. It's funny, dude.
That's awesome.
I'm trying to think. Probably, there's probably more Switch stuff, a bunch more Civ.
Sweet. I'm probably gonna get Battlefront. I don't know if I'm gonna get it immediately when it comes out, but I want to get it at least for the story, and just to see if it's any better.
Already got it.
Yeah,
it's already preloaded. Let's do
and
it,
Brett. Knowing you, dude, you're gonna have to pay to win, bro. I mean, if you're not good at the game to begin with, I mean, you can pay to win,
saying,
which is good.
Man? What are you saying? Are you saying I'm
exactly
bad?
What I'm saying, bro? Exactly what I'm saying.
This is unheard of.
It's unheard of.
It's dude, crazy.
What if it comes to the Switch? Probably not,
dude. That'd be crazy.
I might pick it up too. It's a curious one. It's just too pretty to not pick up.
Yeah, I'm gonna
why
get.
Why wouldn't
PC,
I want to play Star Wars?
So it's like beautiful,
like a 1-to-1 Star Wars game that looks the way it
4K.
Is in 4K. Right?
Exactly,
yeah. Ultra wide.
I don't know. I played the first one and I thought the shooting was just too boring.
Oh, so boring.
I was like really, really good at that one.
Yeah,
that's a pretty good one.
Cool.
Maybe play some more retro games.
There you go.
Maybe do the second Turok this time around.
All right, there you go.
Well, that is going to wrap up our show this week. Be sure and check us out next Tuesday for more from your favorite video game podcast. Visit theinnergamer.net for our latest episodes, blogs, videos, and social channels. If you like what you hear, please leave us a review on iTunes or tell a friend.
We also have a Patreon set up, which is for you, our listeners, to donate to the cause in order to bring you the great content you want to see and hear. Even $1 a day or $1 a month. $1 a day.
$1 a day.
Perfect,
I mean,
you could be a producer for the whole show. You can tell Brett what to wear every day of his life.
Yeah.
That is now a reward. So go over $1 a day. $1 a month will help us keep this content coming to you every week. Plus, if you support us, we have some awesome rewards waiting for you, such as telling Brett what to wear every day or being a guest on the podcast or, you know, getting exclusive content. So head on over to innergamer.net and click donate to contribute. My name's Austin Morales.
I'm Brett Yanosky.
And I'm Luis Gonzalez.
And you've been listening to
The Innergamer.
All right, I'm going to go play some Civ 6. Well, probably not yet, actually.
What about StarCraft? I thought we were going to play StarCraft.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude, that's right.
That means
we can definitely do that right now.
All right,
yeah,
let's do it.
Do
all right. We'll
We'll be right back.